Ladies and gentlemen, in all my years of broadcasting, I've never approached an interview with the trepidation I do today. Huge McDuck, the Intercontinental title holder, is visiting us here in studio today, and he promises to deliver a message.
Oh, yeah. I got a message. I got a message for Chester Balloonman, head of the World Podcasting Federation. I have been unjustly put in this position that I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
But Mr. McDuck, if I could just
No, you can't. Because Huge McDuck doesn't do anything by small measures. Huge measures for Huge McDuck. Only the biggest measures.
And at the moment, would you say that you actually blame Chester Balloonman for the...
I blame him. Oh, I'm coming for him unjustly. You see, all my family in the ring, they don't interfere. Hubris Lewis endures. Oh, not a thing.
We haven't seen Punchlad McHonk in several weeks. Do you care to comment on that?
Oh, he's out there. He's always waiting, watching on the huge efforts of Huge McDuck. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where once every 2 weeks or so, me, Jeff, and my co-host John get together to discuss whatever the hell we want.
Yep, anything at all.
Normally, we try to have something to talk about that relates to the most recent System Mastery we did. So, for example, we just did Ace Agents, a System Mastery about a spy game, sort of. Kind of a G.I. Joe thing.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, parody, send-up, satire, shenanigans.
Whatever you want to call it. Do we have anything we really want to... Did that evoke anything in your mind that you want to...
It evoked so much nostalgia.
There's a lot of nostalgia, that is true. A lot of nostalgia for the elderly days of yonder.
Yes, the elderly days.
Yeah, my elderly childhood.
My elderly days, wandering around in gray sweatpants, trying to be found by the police because I've wandered off.
You don't know me. Actually, you do know me. But what you don't know about me is that I've got that Benjamin Button thing.
You must not know about me. You must not know about me.
All right, we really got to shake it out after that Huge McDuck thing.
Yeah.
And let me point to Chester Balloonman.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so realistically, Ace Agents was not a terrible game.
No. And we did already talk about the whole satire thing on our last Afterthought, and today is our 2-year anniversary as well. So that's the nicest thing ever. You'll be listening to this slightly after it is the 2-year anniversary, but we're doing a fucking week-long party, non-stop, all the time, all 100 years party anniversary.
SystemMastery.com. System Mastery forever. 100 years System Mastery. Yeah. All the time.
All 100 years.
All 100 years SystemMastery.edu forever 100 times. At some point, it switches over from being a Rick and Morty joke to being a Dr. Bronner's soap joke. System Mastery, all one, number one clean, some bees, couple peppermint, together unity, wash clothing, wash teeth, Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, Dr. Bronner's, no one's going to get this reference.
Maybe two or three people will know who Dr. Bronner's soap is.
Look it up, everyone. Dr. Bronner's.
It's awesome soap. It's made out of hemp and peppermint, and it smells all good.
Yeah, peppermint.
Hempermint. My new US Ace Agent character, Hempermint.
Yes.
Explain that one.
No.
Okay. So, if I had to say anything that we didn't cover about Ace Agents that I didn't really love, I'd just say that all it was skills and stats. There was no powers. There was nothing really there that was making it any different from any other 80s game or 90s game.
Well, yeah. I mean, there could have stood to be some specific things that make you stand out, but then you'd get into really mostly just trying to stereotype into the G.I. Joe agents.
That is true. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway. So it's been 2 years.
Yep. Two long, grueling, terrible, stinky, hot, white white gilt balls.
Pussy!
Again, no one's getting that.
Lots of people are going to know that dumb song.
It's the worst song.
So, okay. Over 2 years, we have now recorded about 49 episodes of System Mastery. We have our 50th in process.
Yeah, we do.
And if you listen to our episode 25, you already know what episode 50 will be.
Mm-hmm.
So, no real surprise there. It's going to be another Dungeons & Dragons. So, we're doing a week.
A week.
A week, if you will. I put an H in there for class of Dungeons & Dragons content. We just finished watching Dungeons & Dragons, Wrath of the Dragon God.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
So that's going to be our next movie. So yeah, it's Dungeons & Dragons week here at System Mastery.
Woo!
Not looking forward to the bonus content character creation of a Dungeons & Dragons character. That is the most boring thing you can do.
No way, man. Our D&D characters, the best.
Sure. My D&D characters, original, interesting, listens to good music.
Other D&D characters my age.
Orange skin, listens to dumb music. Probably a half-orc.
Spoopy. Me, too spoopy.
No one's going to get that.
Welcome to Dumb Inside Jokes, the podcast.
My God, this is going to be the worst. But in all seriousness, we wanted to take the opportunity today to thank everyone for listening and actually making this thing work.
Oh, yeah. The fact that we've managed to garner people that listen to us is amazing.
Yeah.
Because we're dumb and make stupid jokes that no one understands.
Such nonsense. 2 years ago, I approached John and said, hey, you want to make a podcast where we just review dumb old role-playing games? And to his credit, he immediately said yes. It was the first thing you said, yes, I do want to do that.
That is exactly what I want to do.
I don't think anyone else would have said yes to that question. Because, you know, you hear it, the first thing you think is, that means I have to read old role-playing games constantly. Like, just constantly.
Just all the time, forever. That's all I do now.
That's my life. I haven't read a real book in 2 years.
I was trying to read a novel the other day, and I just kept going, but where are the character creation rules?
Gravity's Rainbow makes no sense. There's no merits. There's no flaws.
Oh, man. This sample adventure in The Hunchback of Notre Dame is just real dark and depressing.
I tried to run people through a campaign of Ghost Set a Watchman, and
My Ghost Set a Watchman character was terrible. And everyone just kept asking me who was going to watch the Watchman I set.
So thank you very much for listening. And we've broadened out a lot over the course of the past couple of years. We now do these afterthoughts and the movie mastery and the bonus content.
Yep. We've got so much stuff that we do.
And we want to keep doing more stuff.
And thanks to support from people like you.
And the letter G.
And the number one.
Yeah. So, thanks to the Patreon support, we've managed to keep this going, and we will keep this going. This has been a super fun ride. We wanted to take the opportunity today to just sort of celebrate it and thank everybody for
it. Just revel in it. Just really get down deep in the muck of your love and just roll around. Just get it all over us. Just get that love deep inside of us.
We're doing this twice for today because we didn't do anything for our 1 year anniversary. I don't think we even noticed.
Yeah, no, we did the 25th episode, but yeah, we didn't do anything for the anniversary.
Yeah, no one cared. We didn't have...
No, because at that point we had 12 people listening and 4 of them were parents.
Yeah. That's true. At that point I wasn't able to get our friends to listen. Like, I'd be like, hey guys, we're doing this podcast, you should do it. They were like, no, it's
not. I already have to listen to you.
I have enough, I've had enough out of you already.
Also, why are you in my house? Get out.
I'm still weirded out when I find out my friends are listening to this thing. I'm like, just come talk to me. I'll tell you the exact same dumb opinions.
If you want to know my dumb opinions on things, I'll just give them to you. I'm handing them out.
How do you feel about Donald Trump?
That guy is hilariously terrible.
He's the best thing to ever happen to this country. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's like Independence Day happens every day, and it's a racist old man. Jesus. All right, why don't we answer some questions?
Yeah, we will. We are just gonna dive right in to questions from you this time around. This is gonna be a big celebration of all things that is you giving us the weirdest, dumbest questions possible, because that is my favorite thing ever.
It's what we asked for, so don't feel bad. We are not actually calling your questions a dumb.
I am. I am saying that your questions are dumb. That isn't a bad thing, though. I love it. I fucking love dumb questions.
It's the best.
It is my favorite thing. If you ask me the stupidest, weirdest, nonsensical question, I'm gonna have the biggest smile.
It is true. You should see him. It's so adorable. All right, here we go. First question coming to us from Brian D. Brian asks, hi, floating hot dog and 10-year-old girl.
That is racist. Not every cartoon hot dog floats. God.
You'll have to forgive him. He knows that you probably don't really know a lot of cartoon hot dogs. He is on spindly little legs that stick directly into white boots that don't have socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of cartoons. It looks like the shoes are way too big for what probably are just stick-ending feet, but that's the way it works with some cartoon hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the way it works. We don't all float. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just check your non-animated privilege.
Yeah, although I believe you all wear novelty oversized sunglasses. Am I right?
Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Hashtag hot dog racism. Okay, great. So, hi, floating hot dog and 10-year-old girl. One of the things I love about System Mastery is the silly jokes, intros, and t-shirts you make. Do you have any examples of t-shirt ideas or jokes you rejected because you realized they weren't funny or couldn't work them in? Okay, I'm going to say yes to t-shirts, no to jokes. There's no such thing as a joke we won't say on the show.
Oh, yeah, I'll say whatever joke I want to, and if you don't get it, that's fine. I think it's funnier when you don't get my joke.
Yeah, I think it's great that we occasionally have people that get them and are like, oh my god, someone got the one joke.
That one weird joke you made. This one weird joke. Podcast listeners hate us.
Podcast listeners hate our one weird joke. It'll make you lose weight.
It'll get you a new mortgage.
Forget Googling yourself. Listen to this one weird joke. Invented by a school teacher. All right. There have been a couple t-shirts that we're still trying to make that just haven't been able to land. We're still working on the art for what a vendor at Nalabirong is.
Yeah.
That's been a tricky one.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that I'd say we've rejected for the t-shirts, as much as it's just been difficult to try and get them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the level 2 shit farmer is also in progress.
Yep.
And that's tricky. There's a lot of different ways that one can go. Personally, I favor just American Gothic, but with shit on the end of the pitchfork. That's kind of simple, I think.
Whereas I prefer the idea of having a guy who just looks like a farmer, and then you get that World of Warcraft swirl around him, and it has him say level 2 above it.
How do you know that he's a shit farmer? Where's the poop?
Because he's a farmer. He just put the action bar down there, and it just says farm poop as his
own. Oh, okay, there you go. It's a loading action bar. But then people are going to point out that our t-shirt is like WoW for dumb babbies.
Yeah, it's 4th edition D&D shit farmer because it is WoW for dumb babies.
Yay. If you were... So realistically, we try to take every great idea that anyone gives us for shirts, and the jokes, I honestly, we don't really write this show in advance at all. I mean, you should see the notes we had for today's intro. It's Jeff is Mean Gene Okerlund, go.
Yeah, no, it was just me improving the dumbest sort of Macho Man Randy Savage things I could.
So really, we don't have jokes that... I mean, I have one written down somewhere in my Gmail. I wrote it down during my... Mean Gene email. Mean Gene Okerlund at meangene.gene. No, but I have one written down that just says New Zealand is Australia's condom.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, put that on the show. I'm like, how am I going to put that on the show?
How is that a thing that's going to go on the show? But, oh, it worked itself in there.
We did it.
Yeah, just like Australia's dick. It worked itself in there with a condom on it.
The idea is that New Zealand is basically the equivalent of Australia's Canada.
It's the nicer version of the country that's right next to it.
Except that Canada is America's hat. And New Zealand is south of Australia,
it's Australia's Jimmy hat.
It's Australia's Jimmy hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our joke. That's the sort of joke that doesn't make its way onto the show.
Welcome to the dumb jokes we think of when we're not podcasting.
This will never make it onto it. Oh, wait. No. Damn it.
Oh, we've done it.
This will ruin the episode for everyone. Also from Brian, if you were forced to play a role-playing game with people with whom you don't share a common language, what game would you choose and why?
Okay, well, it's gotta be a role-playing game, so let's go with...
Monster Hearts.
Yes. Choose something that is all interpersonal relationship stuff, and you can be the one foreign kid.
It'd be fine. I want to be the one foreign kid. Plus, it's a romance game, and I find leather languages and accents crazy hot. So I was like, yeah.
Plus, it's a romance game. So, you know, you can never underestimate the importance of body language. God. Yeah, you couldn't see it, but I was making some lewd moves there.
It really was. You kind of reminded me of the John Leguizamo Violator from the Spawn movie for a second.
Well, that's because I came in with my clown makeup on today.
I'm eating maggoty pizza. That's all I remembered for.
Goddamn. I saw Spawn in the theaters, and I cannot, literally cannot remember a second of that movie.
I feel
not
like
a single one.
I feel like I should be able to activate all your memories into your brain by just going, Wanda! Wanda!
No, that just, anytime someone repeats one name, it always makes me go back to Lost, and it's just, Walt! Walt!
Because the Spawn movie is basically, is it Michael Jai White? Or Michael?
Yeah.
It's that guy, right? Yeah. Playing Spawn, and all he does is wander around yelling Wanda in a slightly gravelly voice.
Sweet.
So it's just him.
And then Wanda Sykes shows up.
Yeah, well, his wife shows up occasionally and is dead, but not Wanda Sykes, sadly.
Oh, that would be
Wanda,
great.
Wanda could be Spawn. She'd be a better Spawn than some other guy.
That's true.
Yeah. That was her brief TV show. Remember that? Wanda Does It?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dumb, obscure poll to do.
Anybody remember this show that was on for like four episodes?
Yeah, she was like going around doing people's jobs better than them and had her go and saying things like, I can be a pilot. It's like, nope.
No, you can't.
Nope, that actually does take training.
Sorry. Sorry, no.
Other people who are super smart can't be pilots. You can't be like, I'm a doctor, I can be a pilot, no problem.
I'll do this.
So, anyway. Moving past that, yeah, it's just him yelling Wanda, and then John Leguizamo doing shtick, but in a giant fat suit clown outfit.
Yeah.
Computer art from that era, which is appropriate for that era.
Yeah, no, the only thing I can remember is the Spawn logo, like, going towards the screen with fire around it, and then there's a giant scene missing, and then there's me walking out of the theater going, oh, the soundtrack to that was pretty good.
The soundtrack to that movie is amazing. Malabolgia in that movie looks like a cartoon kangaroo.
You know, funny story, my friend, the cartoon kangaroo, was actually up for that role.
Lost it to the actual Malabolgia, who really does look like a cartoon kangaroo, played himself in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, alright. So there you go. I
think that answered that question.
I think that does. I'm saying Monster Hearts, John.
I'm gonna go ahead and say D&D, specifically because it's one of those rules games that everyone should already know, so I can just point at something and roll a die and it should be fine.
Oh, okay, so you actually want to play a game. I'd rather just have a wacky misadventure.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that.
Alright. Next question comes to us from Tracy, pronounced Tracy. Question. How are we, the listeners, supposed to tell you two apart audibly? I know one of you likes to do an exasperated sigh and pause, which helps. Not that I know which of you it is. I don't know either. Actually,
it's me. It's me. I'm always sighing and pausing. Whenever I get really frustrated with a game, this is John, by the way, for those who can't tell.
Mm.
Whenever I get frustrated with a game, I always end up mid-thought just losing the ability to rationally comprehend how angry I am and just go,
So, now that happens to me, this is Jeff, all the time too, but nothing makes me stop talking.
It's true.
Instead, I just get less coherent briefly and then shake myself back to regular.
Yeah, you can always tell when you really hate something because you're talking faster and angrier.
Yeah, so those are some ways to tell us apart. Also, our voices sound different.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah.
We are totally different.
We are totally different.
We have different voices.
We have very different voices.
So distinct.
I support everything he says.
And I support what he says.
The end.
Haha, system mastery.
All right. So there you go. I wish we could help you, but you know what, Tracy? I don't know what you sound like either, so...
Yeah, how am I supposed to tell you apart from all of the other listeners who sound exactly like you?
Deal with that.
Oh!
All right. Burr, 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 burr. Next question from Greg Holton. Says, hey, Jeff and John, love your podcast. Thank you. I've been listening to you guys since your appearance on Critical Success with James D'Amato. But you go check out that episode if you haven't heard it before. We're on some other guy's podcast. He's a nice guy. He does a great couple of shows. And he wanted to interview us about the concept of the Heartbreaker. It's called Critical Success. Go find it.
Go find that. Don't listen to anything else they do. Just us. Only listen to us.
Send them emails saying that they need to have us way more.
Yeah. Tell them everything.
Tell them that we need to be on one of their shows where they actually do the one-shot campaign. The one-shot, because we're great and funny and great.
We're better. We're better than everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone ever.
Yeah, we're
doesn't matter.
We're the best. So, write your congressman, and also write James D'Amato.
write James D'Amato, you should be a congressman.
Write to your congressman, James D'Amato.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. Anyway, that's that. Okay. I listen to you guys at work. Some days, all I listen to is System Mastery. Here's my question for you. If you were to take the video game Heaven and Hell comic comparison... Oh, shoot. That's a... You read... It was a comic strip you sent us a while back.
It's the old joke of the...
Oh, what is
what Heaven and Hell... Yeah, so it's based on the countries where it's like, in Heaven, it's German engineering and French cooking and... Like, British...
Indiana-grade prostitutes.
Indiana-grade prostitutes. That's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah, and then it's like, in Hell, it's British cooking and, like, German women and Italian efficiency and shit like that.
Yeah, but it was done using, I think, Squaresoft's combat mechanics and Squaresoft's writing.
It was in Heaven, it's the stories from Final Fantasy or something.
Yeah, it was in Hell, it's the writing from Final Fantasy X. In Heaven, it's the writing from Chrono Trigger. I think it was how they did it.
It was different franchise things.
Oh, that's right. It was like Gears of War, so I don't know. But anyway, that's the basic concept. And remade it to be about tabletop RPGs. What would that look like? Who would write the mechanics, the settings, the examples of play, the advice to the GM, and so on? All right, so the Heaven version of, let's see, the mechanics... So that just has who has the best mechanics.
Yeah.
I like Fate. Fate's a great, simple system to play. I'd say that. Or 4th edition D&D. Because I like Edition Wars, and I like to I like to start Edition Wars.
I like them. I like to do that. I like to sing about the Muna and the Juna and the Spring.
Oh, good lord.
Ha ha!
All right, so we'll say Fate for the mechanics, the setting from D&D 2nd edition, Planescape.
Yeah, Planescape 100% is the setting.
Yeah, so it's going to be... Fate, Planescape, the examples of play. Let's see, what
Made.
Game? What game doesn't have those? Made, sure.
Made. All the examples of play from Made.
All the examples. That's your good version, not your bad. Because those were just weird and rapey and creepy.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of a game that just doesn't have those.
Because
that'd be perfect. Because I hate those.
Yeah, man, those fucking examples of play is always the worst.
Yeah, they're like reading the word problems in your math textbook. Like, you always just...
Man, but I love those. I have an entire book full of those that I do on airplanes.
Oh, wait, do you have the kind that are like the logic puzzle where you have to fill out the grid?
Oh, yeah, those are the best.
That's your thing, right?
I fucking love logic puzzles.
How many apple pies did Lucille bake? Based on the knowledge that Frank did not bake more than 7 pies.
Oh, yeah, when it's like, Jim, Bill, and Ed came to a party. There was a red car, a green car, and a blue car.
Yeah, I love those logic puzzles, but I also, whenever I read them, I just envision a situation where someone is telling me that information. Like, you know, hey guy, I want you to help me solve a problem. My friend baked not less than 4 pies, but not more than 12 pies, and 3 of them were green. Can you tell me how many red pies his cousin baked? And I'm like, what the fuck are you,
I'm sorry, I've gone quite mad.
You must solve this, for I'm a mad king! That's the only situation where this would work.
Welcome to Greek trials.
God. Alright, so, alright, we're back to it. The examples of play, we'll say Made for the good and bad.
Yeah.
Let's see. And the advice to the GM. Who has really good GM advice?
Haven.
No.
City of Violence.
No, it had the worst GM advice. It was a bastion of the roll a d20 behind a sheet and laugh.
I know, I keep doing all of the ones from hell for mine.
I know, so, okay, you want to do all the bad ones.
Yeah.
Why don't we just set it up that way then? Okay, I'm going to do the good ones. Good ones. Mechanics. Fate.
Great.
You got to give me the bad one.
All right. Mechanics, the worst one. We're going to go with... I'm going to go with Terror is Never Far Behind.
Yeah, Don't Look Back, Terror is Never Far Behind. Only because we haven't read Phoenix Command yet.
Yeah, if I had read Phoenix Command, I might have picked that.
Thankfully, no one has mailed us Phoenix Command. No one mail us Phoenix Command.
Don't you do it.
Right.
Don't you make me read that.
I don't wanna. Alright, so, the good one from the setting, Planescape.
Alright, best setting, obviously, Haven City.
Alright, so you're gonna say the Hell version is Haven. The examples of play, I'm gonna give a good one, which is, Human-Occupied Landfill, because it actually conveys the concept of what it would be like to play that game, which is that you try to play it for 2 minutes, get in a fight, and then give up and get pizza.
Yeah, and I will go with Made, because, you know, while it also gives you a good example of what's probably going to be happening in your play, it makes you not want to play the game.
Yeah, there you go. And the advice to the GM. I really liked the advice to the GM in Nobilis. I think they did a great job of saying, hey, you should let the players do whatever. Don't worry about it too much. Try and keep the party together. Here's a bunch of tools for how to do that.
Yeah, and my hell for advice to the GM is going to be... let's see.
We already did Haven, so it's not like you can only give it once.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could give it again, but we shouldn't do that. Let's go ahead and say, what was that game that had just the fucking, the sarcophagi ones?
Oh, Numenon.
Numenon. Yeah, because it gave you nothing. It was just, hey, you know what you should do?
DM advice was like a poem or something.
Oh, yeah, DM advice was just like, hey, man, why don't you figure out our game for us?
Yeah.
That's, fuck you, Numenon.
Do you want to know how to run this game? Do you want to know how to run a cloud? Does the clown ask his makeup how to run the circus?
I mean, occasionally.
Upon a great horse, the Chinese emperor stood astride. That's your DM advice. Figure
Yay,
it out.
Yay, thanks. Thank you.
All right. Great, so there you go. Alternatively, if you were to do this with systems you reviewed to create the... Oh, that's what we just did.
Great. Oh, yeah.
So, thank you very much. Oh, thanks for reading, and thanks for torturing yourself for my enjoyment.
Obviously. You're welcome. That's all we do.
Although, we're not doing it for you, Greg.
This isn't for you.
Keep listening.
I mean, keep listening, and please support us on Patreon.
Yeah, we're doing this because we have a pathology.
Yes. We are pathologists.
Because we are pathologists. Next question comes to us from Mitch.
What's up, Mitch?
Mitch asks... I read a couple articles some time ago, which I would link if I remembered them. I understand,
all right,
bro.
Sweet. Thank you for telling us you read some articles. Next question.
I would... Mitch, I've also read some articles, and the best I can tell you is I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I've read some stuff and some things. Not great.
All right. That talked about the connection between genres of fiction and politics, more specifically fantasy and sci-fi. The general idea was that in the articles presented was that fantasy had a more conservative bent, while sci-fi contains more progressive ideals. Personally, I thought that this claim is questionable at best, since you have to ignore subgenres like military sci-fi and authors like Ursula Le Guin for the comparison to hold. Anyway, I wanted to ask if someone's tastes in fictional media could be determined by external conditions like their profession/career, personal politics, etc. Blah!
Wow.
I should
okay.
read these in advance.
Wow. All right. Okay. So, first off, I think it's really interesting the idea between the connection of conservative or progressive being linked to fantasy or sci-fi. I mean, obviously, the idea of fantasy being more of a hold on to past ideas.
It's a hold fast. It's where men are men and women live in towers.
Well, you have the whole, like, oh, we want to bring back the days of chivalry and shenanigans.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I can understand that. And then, of course, sci-fi being rooted in the idea of things being more progressive as far as at least technology.
I mean, this basically works as long as you're like, all right, what's fantasy? I don't know, the Knights of the Round Table. What's sci-fi? Roddenberry's Star Trek.
Yeah,
but then you look at it for even a second, and it starts to fall apart dramatically because there's a lot of fetishists writing sci-fi with a lot of very clearly defined gender roles. And then you get...
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, and then you get... You get so much fantasy these days that's strong women-heavy. You get, your Dragon Riders of Pern from back in the day, but Game of Thrones has basically a mix of gender identity politics where it's possible for there to be strong women, even just strong women warriors wandering around, but at the same time they can't, like, be the king or whatever.
Also, I'd say I've probably read way more female-authored fantasy novels than I have sci-fi novels.
That is true. That's almost a thing by itself, is that there's not that much female sci-fi. Granted, there is some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Oryx and Crake. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's an awesome author who does a lot of good sci-fi. Anyway, I think one of my favorite things in this vein is that you can tell what type of movies are going to be made by who's in power in the country. Whenever there is a Republican in office, we get more vampire movies. I'm sorry, no, we get more zombie movies. And whenever there is a Democrat in the office, we get more vampire movies.
Which I hate that comes up, specifically because it means people will start blaming Democrats for Twilight.
And it's, I know, I really, Twilight is just one person's fault.
Yes.
And then a bunch of other people for following it. But the reason being that monster movies reflect what people are afraid of, and when a Democrat's in office, everyone's afraid of the gay agenda, which is vampires. Oh no, fey, partially gay foreigners coming to our country, and
this guy's gonna try and, like, bite my neck against my will.
Yeah, and then when a Republican's in office, everyone gets afraid of mindless conformity, and the zombie movies.
Yeah.
So there is some stuff that can be, I mean, I'm not particularly good at this, I just know that statistic off the top of my head. I've played a lot of RPGs with a lot of people, and I've always been surprised by the diversity of, you know, what people, I play with doctors and...
Yeah, the genres and media and whatnot being determined by, like, your profession or your politics or anything like that, I don't really see it. Like, unless you are specifically like, oh yeah, I have some career that I'm specifically all about one type of thing.
Like, granted, we live in San Diego, which means we play with a lot of military guys. Like, yeah. If you play a tabletop. And those guys, I'd say more than half of them like to drag military stuff into their characters. You get a lot of guys who are like, alright, we're gonna play some Heroes Unlimited. I'm playing as Gunman. And that way I can describe all the guns I know.
Well, more than that, they just like to go, man, look at this gun. This makes no sense. This gun wouldn't be able to work. And na 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 na. And you're like, okay, great.
But, I mean, that's a minor thing, and it doesn't really speak dramatically to the large point. So I don't know. I guess I'm really not the person with the best answer to this question.
I mean, I agree with you. I think it is basically bullshit that... Yeah. I mean, looking at it as the very broadest strokes and more classical as far as the old fantasy and old sci-fi being that way, like we said. I mean, if you're looking at something like old Lord of the Rings and then Star Trek... Yeah, sure, maybe that'll hold up. But nowadays, fucking nerdy things have become standard, so the idea that they are very set in one specific way is not particularly anything.
Yeah, nerd's gotten too big to define as one thing.
Nowadays, yeah, I mean, especially if you just talk about, like, yes, fantasy, and all sci-fi is like this. You can't do that.
Yeah,
that's like saying all comedy is whatever. You're like, no.
All comedy is terrible.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
If it's Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, all comedy done by someone named Jeff. Terrible.
Hey, come on now.
Get fucked.
You got Foxworthy, you got Dunham, you got...
Oh, it holds up.
Crap. Garland. No, I like Garland.
Oh.
Yes, I got out of this one. I've got a boner.
I thought for sure I was going to get it on the Jeffs.
Nope, there's Jeff Garland, who is very decent.
Good for him.
Yep, there you go. I got away with it. Okay, great. This is really two questions in one, but they're related to GM advice. I'm going back to school in August, and I need ideas for a game to run. So whenever you guys GM, how do you come up with ideas or find inspiration for your games?
All right, so it's going to be dependent on, obviously, the system you're running,
mm-hmm.
For what type of game you're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, you could shoehorn anything in. I had talked about this on another podcast where one of the... dumbest games I ran was an Infinity War version where people were finding, like, the gems of power from Marvel in a D&D Planescape game.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that if you want to, and that's fine. I mean, try to rename things and give it a thin veneer of, I made this up, maybe.
I'm personally a big concept guy, so I always like to set really crazy, fantastic worlds for my games to be set in, and that's... And then from there, I'm not very good at being a GM, to be honest with you. I'm way better as a player than I am as a GM, because I tend to be big concept, and then it doesn't stand up to the game.
Yeah, just like your characters.
Yeah.
Oh. No,
I know. It's true. That's I'm good at this. This is the world of nerdiness I've decided on.
This is what I do.
Yeah, but no, I tend to do things like, okay, let's talk about a world where everyone operates off a blimp. Like, literally everyone is playing on a blimp, and occasionally you get to set down on little islands. Let's see if I can make that work with D&D rules.
Yeah,
that's how I tend to go.
I think the inspiration, honestly, is what type of stories do you like? Like, are you a type of person that's like, oh, I really love the idea of a story set, like, one-shot adventures. Like, I really love the idea behind, say, like, old Buffy or Supernatural or those type of Monster of the Week shows.
Mm-hmm.
You could set a game that is very episodic that way. And you can do it in any sort of genre. There are examples, Star Trek, The Next Generation and original series were both very episodic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. If you like stories that are much more grand sweeping epics, then I would go say, you know, take a look at some of your favorites, whether it's like old classics, looking at things like, yeah, I'm going to do fucking like old Beowulf or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. But mostly it's what type of stories do you like? Look up what stories are in that and then try to fit it into the world you've got.
If you play sci-fi or near modern games, one of my personal favorite ways to create the world is to just do a minor piece of historical revision. Like, I like a game where it's like, what if, this is going to be the blimp thing again, but what if the Hindenburg disaster hadn't happened? Oh, well, blimps are still the dominant thing. So now that's the world power, and there's huge zeppelins and airships everywhere, and we ran out of helium a lot sooner, and now there's a world market collapse of helium, and people are hoarding it, so there's helium pirates flying around and stealing balloons from each other.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome setting to do a Sky Pirates game in.
Yeah, or like, you know, what if Thomas Jefferson was a werewolf?
Yeah.
What if
Thomas Jefferson was a werewolf, and then instead of inventing the light bulb, he invented a bulb that turned on a full moon so he could be a werewolf more often?
You mean Thomas Edison?
Sure, why not?
What if Thomas Jefferson was Thomas Edison?
What do you want, man? I got a nasty headache today. We gotta get this done. What if Thomas Jefferson was Thomas Edison?
That's the best.
Instead of sleeping with his slaves, he invented the light bulb.
Good job. Good job, you did it.
And then the full moon came.
Yep. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad we did that.
Oh, God.
That was a good bit we had there.
Oh, man. This is going to be rough.
Okay. So I think that's enough for the inspiration.
Second, I need to find a group. There are already a couple of clubs on campus, and I'm friends with a few members, but most of them are acquaintances. Most of them are already part of a handful of Pathfinder games. As an aside, seriously, Pathfinder is easily the most popular game. For a couple semesters, one of the clubs was literally a single Pathfinder group with like 8 or so people every Friday. Good God. If you weren't playing in that, you made the right choice. Okay.
An 8-person Pathfinder group? No. Never do that.
No. Oh my God. I'd rather go to an 8-person pizza party. That would be way better.
Yeah, well, there's one pizza.
Oh yeah. It'd get one slice. Still yeah. Better than sitting there for a Pathfinder game where you get to do one thing every 20 minutes.
Yep.
Ugh. Okay. Let's see. And any new people are quickly sucked into one. I really don't want to be the guy who breaks apart someone else's group, but how can I convince people to join my game, especially if I'm not running something recognizable like D&D or Pathfinder?
Honestly, I think if you're running something that isn't recognizable like D&D or Pathfinder, you're much more likely to attract the type of people that you want to get.
Yeah.
Because they're going to see that and go, oh, that looks interesting and like something I haven't done before. I want to try that out.
Yeah.
So if you're in a game of just Pathfinder and you've been playing Pathfinder for years and someone goes, hey, I've got a weird game that takes place in a cybernetic future of weird furry pirates.
The cybernetic future of weird furry pirates on blimps. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
All right.
Cyber blimps.
Cy blimps.
Get that cy blimp.
All right. The thing about Pathfinder is that it tends to be pretty cliquish and sort of industry, it tends to build a lot of industry affiliation. People who become Pathfinder fans do so because they have some sort of stake that they're making. You know?
And also, it is one of those games with such a degree of system mastery to it.
Yeah.
That as soon as you've mastered that system, you feel really good when you make a character because you know the traps, you know how to optimize your character, and you know how to make even a class that wouldn't be like the most powerful into something workable.
Yeah.
So you feel good about that.
Pathfinder gives you access to like 800 odd feats, and of those, about 30 of them are useful. That's one of those things where once you realize the core feat set, you're like, I know this game. I'm good at this. I don't want to play some other game. But no, just start your own campaign in something weird. You are going to build an interesting audience, and you're not going to get people who are sitting there going, man, this is bullshit. Let's play Pathfinder.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, the people who see you, whether you put up like a flyer or you just announce that you're going to do it at one of the meetings for people who roleplay, the people who are interested are going to be the people you want to play in your game anyway.
Yep, that's absolutely right. That's the right. That's how you're going to build a good body. Don't let your group get as big as 8 anyway. That's.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you get past like 5 players, you are in the danger zone.
Yeah, that's just too many. All right. Next question comes to us from Mark Walsh. Let's say you are approached by some big-shot Hollywood producers who want to make System Mastery, the movie,
the video game,
the flamethrower, They've given you, John and Jeff, a big budget, and I like how you said John and Jeff there, like, just to make sure that we didn't twist his question somehow.
They have given you, whoever happens to be reading this, whether it's John and Jeff this time, or your fabulous substitute podcasters.
If we were on as a persona at the moment or something.
Yeah, sure, why not?
And a certain amount of, a big budget, and a certain amount of creative control. Knowing this, who would you hire to direct, who would you hire to play yourselves, and who would you cast in the role of Wowzers, the dog who denies the Holocaust? Okay, so we've talked about this one a little bit in advance.
All right, so obviously my choice for director for this is Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg, I think, would do a great job of the body horror that is the two of us.
Any movie that's about us is a movie about body horror.
Yeah.
So David Cronenberg, great choice for the starting director. He's alive, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He's still making stuff. Why not? He's still Cronenberging.
Okay, he's still Cronenberging around. Okay, who would you cast to play yourselves? Now, you probably don't know because you haven't seen me, podcast audience, but I look and sound, you know I don't sound, but I look exactly like Seth Rogen.
It's true. He is dead on a Seth Rogen lookalike. He gets that shit all the time.
Yeah, I've had people storm across restaurants to ask for my autograph, only to get super disappointed when they get within 3 feet. Like, they get mad at me. I've had people who are mad at me because I am not Seth Rogen. That has happened to me. So I guess I'll cast Seth Rogen for me. For John, I really like Wallace Shawn.
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
No, okay. Who would you like for to be you?
Oh, well, I mean, I think we can probably agree the closest analog to me is John Hamm, I think, probably.
Yeah, it's either a John Hamm or a Damon Hounsou.
Yeah, there
You're
we
really
go.
More
one of those.
One of those Chiwetel Ejiofor types.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's a big, beardy, fat guy? You get, like, Jonah Hill?
Amy Sedaris?
Yeah, there we go.
No, sure, Jonah Hill. So Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen, together again at last.
At last, together again.
I hate that, because that sounds like a movie I would not want to see.
Oh, yeah, no, I would see the preview for this movie and go, oh, that's terrible.
See, I actually do look like Seth Rogen, but Jonah Hill's fine, whatever. You could also say Josh Gad or something, it doesn't matter.
Give me some weird comedian.
Who's a guy with some gravitas who's a comedian? Let's see, how about, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yes, perfect.
Ooh, I'm so fluffy.
Yeah, there we go. That's perfect.
I was just going to torture you all the way through this.
Just keep naming comedians.
Because it's so easy to cast me. But you're a real pain in the butt. You could be Ron White.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's
I smoke a bulldog or something.
Let me tell you the same story I've told 15 other times in every special I do.
Yeah, God, he's awful.
Have I told you about tater salad yet? Because that's a thing.
Women should stay in the kitchen.
Eh?
I'm drinking scotch.
Scotch.
Yeah, so there you go. We'll say Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen, because that's pretty close to accurate.
Yeah, that sounds like something a studio would go with.
And cast in the role of Wowzers, the dog that denies the Holocaust, I'm going to go with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, so obviously.
Playing himself, just as Snoop Dogg, not as a seat. He's not doing the voice.
Yeah, I will dub over Snoop Dogg. Yes. I will be the voice of Wowzers, the dog who
denies
the Holocaust.
Can you give me a little taste of that?
Oh, well, looks like we're in a heap of trouble. You know, the Holocaust didn't happen.
Oh, Wowzers, you're a piece of shit.
Oh, well, can't find the evidence.
No one likes you, Wowzers. There's a reason you didn't get raptured.
Oh, God must be a Jew. Well, get out of here, Wowzers.
That's enough of Wowzers, the worst character we've ever created.
Thank you, Wowzers.
All right. So there you go. That's the movie. I guess we could just call it System Mastery.
There we go.
Yep. Dear System... Oh, this is from Blake Scott. Next question from Blake Scott. Dear System Mastery, I never thought it had happened to me. I won the Cheese Dudes Kidnap... I should really read these in advance. Cheese Dudes Kidnap Me Lottery, and I'm now poised to fight in the arena. I must choose between 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck. Which do I choose? I need your answer quickly, because they are chanting my name outside, and they're coming to Giaffagesis from Gladiator in Grants Pass.
Ah, well, obviously, you choose 100 duck-sized horses as your weapon. I assume that's what this question is. What are you wielding?
Yeah, he's fighting in an arena. If he was racing in an arena, I might choose one horse-sized duck, because 100 duck-sized horses is just going to be hard to control.
Like, yeah.
You're not going to get... They're not going to pull your chariot in the right direction. But no, it is a war, so it's a choice between 100 horse-sized ducks. No, it's 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck.
Yeah.
And a horse-sized duck is not going to be especially aggressive and will eventually be pulled down by the weight of all those duck-sized horses
Well, it's who is he going to fight, I think, is the question.
Okay. So we're not determining which one of these to use as a weapon. It's which one should he fight.
Yeah.
In that case, yeah, 100 duck-sized horses. Duck-sized horses.
Yeah.
Because you can just keep kicking them to death.
Because I don't know if you know this. Fucking horses will die for no reason.
Yeah, horses are fragile as hell. It's ridiculous the amount of effort it takes to keep a horse alive.
Oh, poor Petey thought of ants and died.
Yeah. Horses are like, oh, I touched a red plant. I have crazy horse disease.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, I saw my own shadow and I flipped out and broke all of my legs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. A horse is like having a horse-sized sack of human babies in terms of what it takes to keep it alive. It requires that much attention.
Yeah, horses are big, dumb idiots, and if you had a whole bunch of tiny ones, you could probably just yell at them and they would all die of heart
attack. You all suck. I hate you so much. Yeah, I particularly don't like horses, so killing off a whole lot of tiny horses would be great for me.
However, a horse-sized duck, if it gets into its mind that it wants to do horrible duck things to you, corkscrew penis is coming out.
You don't need to take our word for it. The internet is full of horrible evidence of what ducks are and how horrible they are.
They are necrophiliac rapists.
Yeah, and they're a horse-sized duck would have a horse-sized duck corkscrew dick.
Yep.
Which would be like a long spear made out of curlicues and rape.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing.
Yeah, so you don't want that.
No.
Yeah, unless it's trained and you can ride it around, in which case, grats, you got a cool mount. But otherwise, no. Just take the little ones and stomp them all to death. The end.
Yep.
There you go. Great question. Good answer. The end. Next question comes to us from a person with two names. He says it's the magical brand muffin, so we're going to allow that.
Sure. I'll allow it.
Okay, I'm currently running a 5th edition D&D game. It's my first time being GM.
Oh no.
The group is currently 2nd level and soon to be 3rd, and our next meetup, though unplanned, will probably happen soon. Probably asked the question a while ago. The only quests I can think of involve a mix of machinery and magic. I can't use the quest because some of the people in my group are also part of a group who just had an adventure involving machinery and magic. I'm worried the crossover will make my quests less fun. Do you guys have any stories or ideas to inspire me that don't have cities of violence, time travel, or ants with Gatling guns for arms? Please, System Mastery, you're my only hope.
Okay. Running 5th edition D&D, you need quests. Know anything about your setting or your players, but I'm going to go ahead and say try and find booze.
I'm going to say blimp race.
try and race booze on a blimp. Be the first one to get your booze to the delivery
zone. No, I've got it. If we're doing booze and blimps, then we do Prohibition era.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. 100%, whatever your game was, it is now Prohibition era blimps.
Rum runners using blimps to smuggle booze into fantasy kingdoms.
Yes, this is what's happening.
Yeah, and the blimps are disguised as like dragons or rocks or something, because otherwise people would be like, oh no, blimps! And there'd be some guy that's like, oh no, a rum runner. I'm gonna pinch his hooch.
Nah, you'd have the magical blimp and people would come on and search your cargo hold. They wouldn't find it, but you actually put it in the balloon.
Oh yeah, or in an extra dimensional space. Oh, or the contents of the balloon are in extra dimensional space.
Ooh, ooh.
To the portal of the plane of fire so you can have heat for your blimp.
Oh, it's so good. Come on, guys. Whatever you were doing, it's garbage. I don't care.
Now, you may say to yourself, that is clearly just mixing machinery and magic.
No, it isn't.
Blimps aren't machinery.
There's no machine there.
No, they really are. But it's okay, because mixing machinery and magic is great, and there's a lot of ways to do it that don't count as boring crossovers.
Yeah, as long as you're not like, this is a Magitek mech, and a guy is walking around in a suit of power armor, but it's magic, not technology. Okay, great. We've seen that before. But if you're a fantasy world gangster in like a pinstripe robe and you're a wizard...
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah.
Come the fuck on!
Got shoulder pads made out of those big ammo wheels that went onto Tommy guns.
Oh,
so good.
Oh my god, come on! This would be amazing! I want to have a cleric that's just like Al Capone.
Oh yeah. Or a bard.
Yeah, see?
So listen to me, y'all, you mugs.
I'm gonna run this, Hamlet, see?
You all make fantasy hooch for me.
Cheese it, it's the fuzz!
And then literally sentient mold attacks.
Yeah. Oh my my God.
That's the villain of the game, is the
Why
Fuzz.
Why aren't you running this game?
Sentient mushrooms called the Fuzz.
Why aren't we running this game?
We are now. That's our game. Don't take our game, Brand Muffin.
I'm sorry, Brand Muffin. This has now been trademarked by System Mastery. Don't do it.
We're going to make an RPG about our magical blimp gun running, fighting against evil mushrooms who don't want you to drink adventures.
Hell yeah. There's some evil, lawful, neutral king who's like, booze makes people unlawful. I've decided to get rid of booze. And then we have just chaotic good heroes.
Oh, yeah. The chaotic good gangsters who are trying to bring booze to a thirsty populace.
Oh, God. Oh, this is so good.
This is amazing. Yeah. The only part that doesn't really fit is the whole blimp thing. But you know what? I'm keeping it.
It's fine, though.
It's fine.
And I mean, as you get up in level, you can go find monsters to kill for specific ingredients to brew. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, I need to make a Green Dragon IPA, so obviously I need the breath from a Green Dragon, because that gives it that acidic burn.
I'm gonna kill a quickling and use it to brew things even faster. That's two games you got. Plus, you kill that Green Dragon, now you've got a Green Dragon Hide blimp.
Right?
Right. Oh my gosh.
God damn it!
So there's your game, Brand Muffin. I'm glad you enjoy the show. Please tell us if you actually do make a game about rum running in fantasy blimps.
Yep, there you go.
That'll be fantastic. All right, next question comes to us from another person who's adopted the fact that we made fun of their name into their new name. So this one's coming to us from Cyclo Superman LLC Jr.
Good.
And he asks, hey guys, I cannot tell if I have lived a charmed or very sad life.
Well, you're listening to us, so probably very sad.
I can. This is because on my list of great disappointments in my life, the Duckman RPG is honestly extremely high on my list. Oh, that's sad. Oh, wait, but let me explain. I am a relatively new listener to the podcast, and the third one I ever listened to was the official Duckman RPG. It was so goddamned entertaining, as were you gentlemen. Oh, thanks. I was so happy that something like this had been created in RPGs. It was very sad when shortly afterward I found out it was not real.
Aw.
I love it. It's still doing work. It's still out there fooling people. However, I credit you guys with actually writing the rules for it and putting it on your website. After much explaining and pleading, I have convinced my group to attempt the Duckman RPG. Nice.
Oh, God.
My question is, are there future supplements, alternative rules, or a Duckman 2.0 planned for the future that I need to be aware of or wait on? I appreciate the hell out of you guys. Slyclo Slooperman LLC Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Duckman supplements. Yes. Yeah, we'll do some Duckman supplements.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when, but we're going to get to them. They're probably not what you think.
Yeah, these Ducklements are coming to you.
Yeah, we're going to make some Ducklements, and these Ducklements will not be further adventures in the Duckman show, because there's only so much gold you can mine from that particular nugget of pure gold.
Yeah.
Instead, they will be the tales of other ducks.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to have an entire Howard supplement.
Yeah, yeah. Howard the Duckman.
Howard the Ducklement.
Yeah, Howard the Duckman Ducklement. We'll call it. And it'll be in all the rules for playing as a duck who is trapped in a world he never made.
Yep.
Yep. And also how to play as new races like Dr. Bongs and evil, I believe there's an evil cow.
Yeah, yeah. The vampire cow.
The vampire cow. So vampire cow, and of course Howard himself, who is just a duck, so we've got that race covered.
Yeah.
And he's not just a duck, he's a ducktective. So he's double covered.
Yeah, we've already done him. It's fine.
Yeah, he's all set. But, you know, watch for the Huge McDuck professional wrestling supplement.
Yeah, yeah. You can get Hubris Lewis and Doers.
That's got to be your favorite thing in the world, isn't
it? I fucking love that so much. I don't
Lewis,
care.
Hubris, and Duars. Where you can play as duck professional wrestlers. That'll be a new class. And it'll also add the race dog, because that was missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are definitely coming. We probably will never put out a duck. Well, here's how it'll probably work. We'll probably do it in the same way that Big Eyes Small Mouth works. Where we put out like 100 million little supplements, and then we combine them all into one big unwieldy 2.0 book that we pretend is a new edition.
Yep, there we go. That's how that works.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you're playing Duckman. I don't know about alternative rules. I mean, those are very well crafted. Certainly, no one wrote those in an afternoon instead of doing his job.
Obviously not.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yep.
But thank you very much for the kind words. And I hope to hear that you guys enjoy Duckman, the game, the legend, the myth, and the show. Okay, next question from Nate. Do you want to get coffee sometime?
No.
I don't drink coffee.
And I don't like you.
personally. Is he asking
as a person?
Would the two of us like to get coffee sometime?
Yeah. Do you, hey Jeff, you want to get coffee sometime?
John, I don't drink coffee. I will go with you to coffee.
Oh, okay.
But I don't. I quit caffeine a while back, and it was a horrible decision that I regret every day.
Yep. I don't know why you did it. It was dumb.
I don't know why I'm still doing it. It was. At this point, I'm just being stubborn about it.
Yeah.
Like the Winston Churchill of not liking tea.
Oh, man, it's like those people who started working out, and they get really into it, and they hate it, and they can't stop doing it.
I wish I was one of those guys.
Right?
At least then I'd be good looking.
No, you wouldn't.
At least then I'd be skinny.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Okay, also, which of the GOP presidential candidates would you most like to make out with, and why? Okay, we talked about this, and we have our answers prepared. John, would you like to do yours first?
No, okay, I'll do mine
first. All right, great. I'm going to say Rick Santorum, because I would like to destroy a career.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's
Rick's entire career is predicated on him hating gay people and not understanding gay people, and that has been of a special consternation to me as a bisexual dude who occasionally has sex with men. I don't really like his comparison to me wanting to be able to fuck dogs later.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to fuck dogs later. Who knows? I think straight sex leads to dog fucking. I mean, you can fuck a female dog. So
it's true.
That's why I would make out with Rick Santorum, because otherwise I might fuck a female dog.
Otherwise.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Rick Santorum. It would destroy his career, and that would be appreciable to me.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, was it Ted Cruz?
I think it's Ted Cruz you want.
Because he's just so pillowy soft. He looks like making out with a fucking roll of Charmin.
Yeah, it's like he's like a little pudding man.
Yeah, he just looks so malleable.
Yeah.
And also, like, I could just tell him what to do.
Yeah, no, he's totally a bottom bitch. Like you could be like, Ted Cruz, make out with me. You know what? I don't even want to make out with you. Go make me a cheese sandwich.
And he'd be like, Oh, okay.
Okay. No Christians though, am I right? No, yeah, we're not talking about that.
You shut up until I tell you to talk, Ted Cruz.
Yeah. So
okay.
Well, Ted Cruz is. I'm a little put out by this, but
oh, I'm apparently slowly turning into Kermit the Frog.
There you go. We both like to make out with Kermit the Frog.
Okay, but the real answer is obviously Rick Perry, because he's so chiseled and dreamy.
Oh yeah, with or without the glasses.
Oh yeah. Either way, but you probably know, without.
Too bad.
Aw.
He wants to look smart while you're making out. You're going to fog those glasses.
Yeah, fog them up.
So there you go. Rick Santorum and Rick Perry. We like the Ricks here.
Yeah.
Couple of good, strong Ricks. All right. Next question comes to us from Saylorn. He's asked a lot of good questions. Good supporter over the years. He says, if I patronize at the $10 level, but I don't have a spiel prepared, can I wait a couple of months until I figure that out? I already answered this on Twitter, but I figured it'd be a fun time to talk about how that works, because it's kind of a weird thing. Our Patreon has a ludicrous $10 donation level.
Come on, we're like the Olive Garden of podcasts.
That's true.
You'd pay a dollar for that,
although,
right?
You don't pay Olive Garden's goddamn expensive now. I don't know when that happened. Used to be you could go in there and you could get your fucking bologna Alfredo and be out the door. It was no problem.
Oh, yeah. You'd get your, like, mini pizza poppers with authentico sauce.
Authentico Italiano. Yeah.
And it would be, like, $8.
Yeah. Now it's, like, $20. It's like, fuck you. There's real Italian restaurants in this city.
Yeah. Come on now.
So, anyway. The $10 level has a bonus, which is that if you have given us $10 five times, we will read a spiel prepared by you.
Whatever you want.
Within limits.
You know, nothing offensive.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing that, I don't know, is sexist or racist or says that 3.5 is good.
That's super offensive. I'm not going to read a commercial for Pathfinder unless I literally get money from Paizo.
Yeah. There you go.
So, basically, if you give us a grand total of $50 at the $10 level, then you can send us a spiel that we can probably read in under 5 minutes, and we will read it on the show. We have one person who is giving it that level who wants us to read a prompt for his Let's Play group, the team. I think that's the name of it, right? No, not Let's Play. Let's Play is a campaign
video
format.
Games.
It's the it's a video game thing where they play for charity. I forget the specific name of it. Anyway, we have a donor who's doing that at that level, and he's going to hate me in a bit. He's another really active follower. I forgot the name of the thing. But he's doing that at that level. The way it works is you have to pay us five times, though, so you have 2.5 months.
Yep, you've got time.
Because, as I mentioned previously, we only charge for the System Mastery episodes. I wouldn't charge for this Afterthought thing. I'm not even going to... I don't even recommend listening to this.
I do. This is the best. This is the best thing we do.
I know we're 57 minutes in right now, but you've already wasted 57 minutes. So keep going.
do it.
Yeah. All right. So that's how that works. If you do have something you need to have us present sooner, like if, say, for example, you want to have us read something that's supporting a podcast you're doing or your show or whatever, just send me an email at systemmastery@gmail.com and we'll work it out. I trust my fans. Don't worry about it.
I mean, it can be anything. You can have us do a dramatic reading of something if you want.
And if you don't have 2.5 months to wait, send me an email. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you would like to advertise on our show, just send me an email, systemmastery@gmail.com. You will find our rates are ludicrous and shocking.
You will find that we are whores.
We will do anything for any amount of money. We don't have jobs.
Yep.
So if you have a web store or whatever it is you need to advertise, drop me an email and we will work it out. I will advertise. I will shill for your thing.
All right.
Great. Next question. It's from Zach Finkelstein. Last question of the day. Zach asks, if you could base an RPG on any 80s or 90s toy-based IP, what would you choose?
Let's see. If I was going to get an RPG based out of some old nostalgia thing...
Let's assume it doesn't already exist.
Yeah. Well, most of them probably don't.
That's true. Most of them don't have... I don't think there's an official Transformers RPG, for example.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I would... You know, Transformers is too boring of an answer. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of weird stuff out there, too, that you could do.
Yeah. Popples.
Yeah, there you go. Fraggle. Fraggle Rock.
The Fraggle RPG.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a toy license game thing, though. The Popples are purely toy.
Yeah. Oh, what was the name of the shirt ones?
Shirt Tales.
Shirt Tales. There we go. Shirt Tales, the RPG.
I believe that exists.
No, there's no fucking way Shirt Tales has an RPG. If Shirt Tales has an RPG, I would be flabbergasted.
Well, you see... Wizards of the Coast back in like 1991 or 1992 purchased the Pound Puppies license and started producing a Pound Puppies RPG, and that led, when they eventually opened the license and then subsequently closed it, led to Paizo creating a Shirt Tales RPG to capitalize on the popularity of Pound Puppies without actually saying the term Pound Puppies, but everyone knew. Yep. I mean, everyone knew.
Congratulations.
And the whole thing was based on Traveler's Care Bears license from way, way back.
Which, again, dude, Care Bears... would be an amazing RPG.
Oh, yeah, especially once you get that supplement that opens up the cousins.
Right?
You notice that we're not giving a single answer that has anything to do with, like, macho dudes?
Oh, no. It's like this, fuck no.
We're like, oh, it's the Noozles. You should tell... let's see, you gotta do the Noozles, Dora the Explorer, what else we...
I wanna go way back. I'd like an H.R. Puffin stuff RPG.
I'd like to play an RPG based on those little helicopters that are shaped like fairies.
I want the Bugaloos, that's all I want.
I want one based on Dunkaroos. In the Dunkaroos RPG, you amass frosting as an XP source, and then you spend it on purchasing additional cookies. All right, but my serious answer is Dino Riders.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Dino Riders. An RPG that does not exist yet, but absolutely should, where you play as crazy super sci-fi soldiers riding around on cybered-up dinosaurs.
You know what's weird to me? Have they had a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers RPG?
Oh, they have to. We just haven't heard
of it. I know
they've
had video games, but I don't think they had an RPG. And I would totally do that. Because it also sets you as, you can't have more than 5 teenagers with attitude in your group.
Well, you can have 6. There were 6 briefly in the original
run. Yeah, well, fuck that guy.
Is he the one who eventually killed his roommate with a sword?
No, I think that was the red one.
Oh, okay, that's right. He was the Black Ranger and the Green Ranger.
No, the Green Ranger is the one who was Scorpion in Mortal Kombat.
Yes, and then he eventually became the White Ranger.
Yes.
The racist Ranger.
Yeah, he eventually had to check his privilege.
Yeah. God damn it. So I'm going to say for my real answer, Dino Riders... But honestly, I feel like all that other stuff I said was great, too.
Yeah, I would... Honestly, my real answer is Care Bears. I think that would be fucking amazing.
Care Bears would be really good. You have to fight that evil doctor.
Plus, it gives you... Everyone has one cool power they have.
What the hell was his... It's like Dr. Heartless or something.
Yeah, and then there was his little, like, fuzzy goblin thing.
Yeah, and he only said, like, one word. Yeah. He was just like, Nort, or something like that. I was like, I think. I don't remember. So...
You don't know from Care Bears. Get out of here.
I don't. I remember that there were cousins...
Yeah, the cousins were great.
I remember thinking the cousins were the best part, because all the Care Bears looked the same, but then you were like, I'm a monkey. I look like a little monkey. I'm like,
oh, a lion. I lead them.
That's a fucking penguin. I want the penguin one.
Yeah.
Chillheart Penguin or something.
Yeah, Chillbro Swaggins.
Chillbro Swaggins.
And on that note.
Okay. So that's all the questions. And although I think we only talked for 6 minutes before we started the questions, we've been talking for an hour now just answering those.
Yay.
Thank you for your questions, everybody. You did a great job.
Yep. Thank you so much. We look forward to providing you with at least another year's worth of content. I have just done the most disgusting burp right in Jeff's face.
Oh, Lord. We need two microphones. We need them.
Oh, man. That was delicious. That tasted like garlic and apples.
That was like the fifth one.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm 5 years older after reviewing this because of you. I'm going to wake up in 2020. I'm going to be like the Rip Van Winkle of horrible garlic burps.
You're going to be Rob Van Winkle?
I'll wake up and be like, are there still Jack in the boxes? And they'll be like, yes. And they'll be like, I'm going back to sleep then. Okay, great. So that's been everything from the Afterthought podcast. Yep.
Thank you guys so much for your support. And you can always find us on all of our various social medias. The Twitter at System Mastery, Gmail, SystemMastery@gmail, or Facebook System Mastery.
SystemMasteryPodcast.com. Or you can download our shows on iTunes or Stitcher. We have another show coming out in a couple of days, and that will be our next movie mastery. As mentioned previously, it will be Dungeons & Dragons, Wrath of the Dragon God.
Woo!
So look forward to that, and as always, support the Patreon, and have a lovely week.